Doug Tyrrell, History and Comment is available on iTunes.
Hello, friends. I'm Doug Tyrrell. This is History and Comment for Wednesday, the 12th day of April, 2023. The British Union flag is adopted as the flag of English and Scottish ships. It's a blending of St. George's Cross for Britain and St. Andrew's Cross for Scotland. It will remain the standard for almost two centuries until St. Patrick's Cross is added for Ireland in 1806. In a strange twist, neither have been officially adopted as the flag of the kingdom, just to be used on ships. When we think of U.S. colonies, we tend to think of the 16 and early 1700s on the East Coast. On this day in 1811, colonists arrive at Cape Disappointment, Washington, to establish the first colony on the Pacific Northwest. By ship, the colony was further away than New England was from England. The great locomotive chase of the Civil War took place on this day in 1862. Union operatives steal a locomotive at Big Shanty, Georgia, and head north up the tracks. The first catcher's mask is used in a baseball game in 1877. While it seems counterintuitive, there has been great resistance to protective gear in sports. The chest protector will debut about 1883 and shin guards in early form about 1890. There are a lot of parallels between catchers and hockey goalies, but the goalies did not begin adopting masks until Jake's Plant in 1959. There had been a few examples earlier, but they did not catch on. Plant's form-fitting mask will be the general style until the very late 1970s, when noted mask maker Greg Harrison added a cage to a fiberglass mask. The idea is credited to goalie Dave Dryden. In a circuitous path, current baseball catcher's masks are clearly similar to the later Harrison goalie mask design. Major League Baseball, with its traditions, has prohibited catchers from displaying the creative paint schemes that have been a hallmark of hockey masks almost from the inception. Puerto Rico gets limited self-rule in 1900. I'm not sure why we do not cut them completely loose. Some would love to make them a state, but that would bring to bear the contentious debate on the subject of balance of power. The two prime candidates for the 51st state are both heavily Democrat. WLS AM in Chicago begins official radio programming in 1924. Originally, the station was owned by catalog retailer Sears and Roebuck. The call letter stood for World's Largest Store. Of course, the W was fixed by the Federal Communications Commission. Sears will operate the station until 1928, when it was sold to Prairie Farmer magazine. Prairie Farmer will own the station until 1960. The idea of the National Barn Dance originated with WLS. WSM's Grand Ole Opry was a local spinoff of the National Barn Dance, but WSM in Nashville had an equally large audience and reached regions of the country more noted for their musical heritage. Alfred Hitchcock's first film as director, The Pleasure Garden, is released in 1926. Tornadoes dominate the weather news this time of year. Mount Washington, New Hampshire, sets a world record for surface winds, or straight-line winds, of 231 miles per hour in 1934. That has since been surpassed. The New England tourist destination is known for its strong winds. When we visited there a few years back, we could only take the Cog Railway trip halfway up. The full trip to the summit was closed that day due to high winds. President Franklin Roosevelt dies just days into his fourth term in 1945. Harry Truman had only become vice president on this term, and the two had only met privately a couple of times. The media, who adored Roosevelt, were tepid to outright rude to the new president. One account said, Roosevelt had been a great architect. Perhaps Truman can be a good carpenter. Actor Ed O'Neill is 77. You may know him as the character Al Bundy. O'Neill played college football and was a walk-on free agent to the Pittsburgh Steelers, but was cut in training camp in favor of Mean Joe Green. Author Tom Clancy was born on this day in 1947. Clancy wrote a long string of spy military novels. He was quite good at drawing readers into his stories with great detail. Clancy had a great mind and ability to take two details and project a third or fourth. So good, in fact, he was called onto the carpet by defense officials wanting to know his sources. The media and folks outside of government do not have a good understanding of how compartmented government offices can be. The concept of need to know is paramount. You can work for months, feet away from a person, and have no clue what they are working on. You don't make a habit of discussing it in a lot of circles. I recall a story told by a college classmate who had prior experience in the spook world. Working for a branch of DOD, he had obtained data from Soviet sources. Wishing to verify how accurate the Soviet data was, he reached out to the other branch. They curtly replied he did not have the need to know that information. Not being dissuaded, he replied with a sample of data. They quickly replied in a panic, "How do you know that?" He quipped, "You do not have a need to know." The Soviet data was accurate, and so were some portions of Clancy's novels. The Salk polio vaccine is declared safe and effective in 1955. History has borne that out. There were two versions, a weakened virus given orally and a killed virus given by injection. The weakened virus, in a few cases, caused the disease. It should be noted, these were distinctly different from the altered RNA used in the recent vaccine debate. The jury's still out on that, and the prospects do not look good. The first shuttle mission lifts off from Kennedy Space Center, Florida in 1981. I recall the surprise by the announcers of the difference between the shuttle liftoff and the Apollo flights. The shuttle with its solid rocket boosters seemed to jump off the pad compared to the slower Apollo liftoff. Singer Sonny Bono is elected mayor of Palm Springs, California in 1988. That's History in Comment for the 12th day of April. I'm Doug Terrell. Now go do something worth remembering.